Okay? No, we're not in trouble. Well, I could get us there real quick, but I'm trying to behave. My name is Ray Earlston. I'm a former pastor. Pastors do not become Gideons, by the way, unless you've happened to have retired and been retired for over 5 years, and then they will accept you as a Gideon. I've been retired for health reasons for 10 years. I pastored 3 churches, one for 2 years, one for 5 years, one for 13 years, and then I worked in the Department of Corrections as the chaplain for 16 years, and I've been retired for 10. And I have found in the Gideon ministry just what I need to continue to share the word of God around the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let it there be, and it was so. Yes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and the Word became flesh, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we have beheld and our hands have handled of the word of life, declare we unto you, so ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. All these things write we unto you, so that your joy may be full. And then Jesus, that infleshed word, said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The word of God, the Gideon ministry is all about that word of God. It's a powerful word. It's a personable word, and it's a pertinent word. It's a word so powerful that the universe and all that is in it was created by a God speaking, and it became. And the universe is so small, isn't it? Yes. We take our looks out into the universe and we see so far away, and we tell ourselves, one of these days we'll be able to see beyond that and see the whole universe. And we see beyond that finally, and guess what? Well, there's more beyond that. Maybe if we get better lenses and better equipment, we'll be able to finally see the end of the universe. And now we can see, and guess what? There's always more beyond that. This is no small world that God created by his word. Yes, the word of God is powerful. Created our universe. The word of God is very personable. It is so personable that that powerful word became enfleshed in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. It became enfleshed in the life of Jesus of Nazareth for many, many reasons. But one of the most important reasons was so that as Jesus lived, as the Word lived in Jesus Christ, we would come to know what God and man are truly and really like. He is our example. It's a very personable word. And it's a word that's very, very pertinent. It is so important. Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father but by me, the Word. And if you do not come by the Word of God to him, you don't make it. It's a very important word. And all men and women, hopefully, will come to the place where they come to Jesus Christ and they come to God the Father and have fellowship with us, and our joy is made complete because they have heard the Word, and the Word of God has had the influence that it should have on a person's life. We as Gideons are a group of professionals and a group of businessmen and their wives who have given our lives to the Word of God and to distributing around the world. However, you must understand that the very first thing you have to do if you're going to distribute the Word of God is to receive the Word of God. You can't really give away something that's not in your heart and in your life. So the first thing that Gideons do is give their lives 24/7, 365 days a year. We give our lives to being filled with, to being controlled by, to being participating with that word of God in our hearts and lives. It means that Gideons at once, I don't know if there are any Gideons here, if there are, but Gideons will become better churchmen. Gideons will become better people at worship. They'll become better people at fulfilling the pews and coming regularly in attendance. They'll just become better churchmen. Gideons will become better fathers. Gideons will become better husbands. Gideons will become better employees. Gideons will just become better because we're giving ourselves to the Word of God, and that Word of God is making us holy and making us good and making us better than we've ever been before. And having experienced the Word of God, we also want to do one other thing, and that is to fulfill the Great Commission, to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. We do that as we see it by giving out the Word of God around the world. We take our gifts and our talents and the Word of God and distribute it so that the world might be redeemed. And we do it in lots of places. I got to pick up the right one. Ministers never make mistakes, never happens. I know, living proof. We place these Bibles in hotels. We place these Bibles in hospitals. We place them in fire halls. We place them in police officers. We place them in doctor's offices, wherever anybody will open up and accept the Word of God and allow us to place it there for people to use and for people to read. We will place it, and we do that regularly. We also place these. And we go around and we place these in all kinds of places. We place them in prisons. We place them in schools. We place it on street corners. We go to social events, and we go to Huntington County Fair and this county's fair. And we go to those places and we distribute the testaments to all those who will accept them in hopes that they will open it up and be influenced by the Word of God. We do all that on a regular basis because that is our participation in sharing the Word of God with the world. And we do that for one very special reason. And that reason is this: the Word of God is very, very effective. Yes, it is. Just as the rain cometh down and snow during winter and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. And my mind is escaping it at the present. Mm-hmm. And it brings forth and causes to bud so that the sower may sow and the eater may eat. It feeds the world. In the same way, my word that goeth forth out of my mouth is the same way. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I desire. It will be purposeful in the thing wherewith I send it. The Word of God will accomplish what he wants it to do. And that's why we share the Word of God with the world, because it accomplishes so many things. Of course, every now and then, the Word of God needs a little bit of help. We don't just share the Word, we share our lives. We share our testimonies as well. That's why you have to have the Word first, because testimonies are helpful. Happened in January of this year that Stuart was taking a group of Gideons to the Najak Hotel in Papua New Guinea. And he and that group were there, and they placed this kind of Bible in the hotel all over. And as they were leaving, as they were going through the main lobby, they ran across, of all things, the manager. And the manager was a woman, and she stopped by, and she was just thrilled that they had come to her hotel and had placed Gideon Bibles in it. She really was thankful. And so Stuart reached into his pocket. They carry them around. And he gave her a pocket New Testament. And Jose was with her. Jose was the man who had opened up the door that made it possible that they could put Bibles in that hotel. And so Jose was standing there. So he gave one to the manager and one to Jose. And then she really got excited. She was thrilled to death to have her own personal copy of Scripture. She really liked that. So Stuart went a little farther. He said, I'm just wondering, who is Jesus Christ in your understanding? Is he just a historical figure? Or is he someone that you can come to know in a personal way? And she thought, and then he opened up the New Testament, because in the back of the New Testament is a plan of salvation. And he opened it up to that plan of salvation, and he shared it with her, and they went through the whole thing, and she was listening. And then he looked at her and he said, is there any reason why you won't want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Any reason at all? And that caused a pause. She had to think about that one a little bit, and she did, and she finally, with, you know, she realized filled with good affirmation. She said, no. So he pressed it a little further. He said, that being the case, is there any reason why you don't want to accept Jesus Christ right now? And there was another big pause. And this time she looked over at Jose and asked him, well, what do you think, Jose? Jose just shrugged his shoulders. He wasn't ready. And then she thought about it a little bit more. And then she just began to pray. She thanked God for all the things he had done in her life. She prayed and asked for the forgiveness that presentation of the gospel had presented. And her closing line to the prayer is this. He said, Jesus, I just really need you to come into my heart and life and make me a better person. Stuart looked at her and said, you have just now become a part of the family of God. And sometimes the word of God just needs our testimony to go with it so that someone might come to know him. However, on the other hand, you can relax. The word of God can do it all by itself. At another hotel, this one was in Abuja, Nigeria. The hotel manager tells the story of this young lady who came and stayed at his hotel. And she came in, and at first day when housekeeping shows up, and they want to take care of the room and clean it up, and they, no response, and no word, no nothing. So they just left and came back. So they came back the second day that she was there. And again, they knocked and tried, called for her. And again, no response. When the manager heard of what was happening, he said to housekeeping, he said, tomorrow, if it happens again, you're going to have to take a key and just open that door. You got to find out, make sure our guest is okay. Make sure things are going all right. All kinds of things could be happening. All right. So he's worried. Well, the next morning, it took care of itself. The woman came out and talked to the manager. She said, I want to thank you. You see, I'm a Muslim. I'm unmarried. And I'm pregnant. My family, in punishment for me, is going to stone me to death. I left my hometown as far away as I could, and I came to this motel with one thing on the back of my mind. I came to commit suicide and get rid of the issues and the problems I'm facing with that. But I found in my room a Bible that had been placed there by the Gideons. And for the past 2 days, I've just been reading that book. And in that book, I have discovered and found that there is one who has the true gift of eternal life, and it's Jesus Christ. And in the past 2 days, I have given my life to Jesus Christ. I have accepted his forgiveness. I have accepted him as my Savior and Lord. Her next line is tough. She says, and now I'm ready to go home. Because I know that whatever happens, I have the assurance that I'll spend eternity with Jesus Christ. The word of God is powerful in changing lives when it needs to. And yeah, there's the word of God and there's testimony, but every now and then, God needs to put his hand in there again. Every now and then, God just needs to do something special to see to it that takes place. The testimony and the word itself just don't seem to be getting it done. And sometimes God shows up and does some interesting things. Guillermo, he was an engineering student at an engineering college. And a Gideon gave him, as a young student, gave him a Gideon New Testament. And he read that New Testament. And he opened it up and he followed the plan of salvation and gave his life to Jesus Christ. He was now a Christian. And when he graduated, he finally got a job in northern Peru, which is the country he was in. And he was going to be a petroleum engineer. But the city that he was going to was very, very unique. It had quite a reputation. It had the reputation for being the stronghold of witches and warlocks in that area. Yeah, he was going to the place where Satan was at his strongest in the area that he came from. And his pastor came to him and realized, and the pastor came to him one day and said, you realize you are the very first missionary that this church has ever sent anywhere? May it go well. And she knew she was going to be a missionary. So the pastor taught Guillermo how to do Bible studies, how to lead Bible studies, to introduce people to the Lord, etc. And so he went prepared to northern Peru. And when he got there, he put up a sign. The sign read, "Mining engineer gives free Bible lessons." Great idea. There's just one problem. No one ever showed up. No, not one. He'd hold a lesson, nobody'd be there. No one ever showed up. That's quite discouraging and frustrating. Well, one day, surprising things can happen. It just started to rain. It rained real bad, and it rained so bad that the room that Guillermo was staying in was beginning to flood. And it wasn't flooding just a little. It was flooding a lot. And so, not knowing what to do, in a kind of a panic, he grabbed the bucket he could find. He opened up the door, and he just started throwing out water as fast as he could. And all of a sudden, the mangiest, dirtiest dog in the world probably ran into his room, picked up his New Testament by his teeth, and ran back out. Well, Guillermo chased him because he didn't want to lose his New Testament. He didn't want to lose it. The trouble was, before he could catch the dog ran right into the hut of probably the most powerful witch and warlock in that community. And Guillermo said, "Well, that's the end of that." He just passed it off and went on his way. Would have ended there, but 2 weeks later, knock on the door. You know who it was, don't you? It was that warlock. It was that witch doctor. And that witch doctor said, I want you to give me some Bible lessons. I want you to teach me what's in that holy book. Said, suddenly one night I'm sitting there and the ugliest dog you ever saw came in, dropped this little blue book on my floor and ran back out. I picked up that blue book and began to read it, and it started talking about the sin of idolatry. When it talked about the sin of idolatry, something just felt wrong in my life. Something just left and went wrong in my heart, and I don't know what it is, and I don't know why I'm like this, but maybe I'm hoping that you can help me and do something to put my mind at ease and to put me back on track. And Guillermo had no trouble. He just shared with him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And right then and there, that powerful warlock gave his life to Jesus Christ. He's the next warlock now. And you know that new Christians make great witnesses, don't you? It wasn't long before the ex-warlock had won everyone in his entire family to Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. Yes, the word of God is powerful. He uses our testimony. He uses the word. And God doesn't leave all that alone. He comes and does it all. He adds things when it's necessary. What's really interesting is that many times it seems that as we present Bibles and we hand them out and someone comes by to pick up a Bible, it's just amazing how many times the person that's getting a Bible and the person that's giving it out just happen to be the right two people to be together. It just so happens that this person has a question that this person is perfect to help with and to answer and to send them on their way. John and I, he's a fellow Gideon, we were at our Huntington County Fair at our book distribution table, and a teenage boy was walking by, and he was looking at the table, and John pulled up a New Testament, and he said, "Would you like a New Testament?" That teenage boy reached into his back pocket, pulled out one of these that was tattered and worn, and you could tell it had been well overused, and he said, "I carry this thing wherever I go." Said, and he talked about his church experience, and he's active. He teaches children at his church. He gets along with his pastor real well, and he at times in his mind and in his heart, he really thinks God's calling him to be a pastor. He's thinking of getting his life to follow the ministry. He just has one real problem with that, and that is in the denomination that he goes to, they have lots of colleges. None of them are in the state of Pennsylvania. And from what he's heard about all those colleges, none of them are exactly what he'd like to learn from. It's just not a mix that he wants to go to, and he's concerned about that. So, you know, how can he go and be educated for a pastor when where they'll send him is just not good? It's amazing that John, the person that he talked to, John is a Gideon, but John's felt a call to become a pastor in the past 3 or 4 or 5 years. And at the present, he's enrolled in a local college in Pennsylvania. He's in his second year, almost finished with it. He's got 1 year to go, but he's studying to be a pastor. He's studying to be an elder in a denomination and become a preacher of the word full time. And he was able to talk to that young man about a couple of things. And one of the things he did, he shared with him the college he was going to and how he enrolled in it and how there are lots of independent religious colleges in the state of Pennsylvania that any one of them would be good. Anyhow, he talked to him and talked to him about the one he was going to and what it was like. And then he asked him an important question. He says, you know, you said you think God's calling you into ministry. Have you told your pastor about that yet? That's a good thing to do if God's calling you to ministry. Talk to your pastor about that. The guy said, no. He says, do you get along with your pastor? He said, yeah. So he talked to him about talking to his pastor and finding out from his pastor the things that his denomination, the steps that it would take for him to become a minister according to their practices and procedures and go about doing it. What a perfect match. And, well, he gave the boy a new Bible, okay, to replace the one that was worn out. And he went on his way, but closer to finding his call to ministry than he had been before he left. God just takes matches, who's coming to who's there, and they meet the needs perfectly from time to time. I've shared all kinds of stories, and I don't want you to think that the word of God is only powerful right away and immediately. No, it has its long-term effects. It doesn't stop with one becoming a Christian. It doesn't stop with one coming to be made right with the Lord. Randy was a student at Brockport College in New York, and he had grown up in a Christian family. However, when he got to college, he became rebellious, not just a little bit. He was so rebellious that he was hard time, really, into drugs and alcohol. Yeah, he was really a rebellion. And one day, a Gideon walking through the campus came up to him and said, hey, would you like a Gideon New Testament? He said, yeah, whatever. And he took it and put it away. You see, that morning, he'd been on his way to the student union to get to the pub so he could start his drinking early so he could forget whatever it was he needed to forget. Put the Bible away and didn't touch it. In about 3 months, God continued to work, and Randy reached rock bottom. I don't know what rock bottom is for an addict or an alcoholic, but Randy had reached rock bottom. He finally decided to pull this thing out and read it. Took him 30 days. Took him a whole month. But he finally read through the whole New Testament. And at the back, when he got to the plan of salvation, he got down on his knees, gave his life to Jesus Christ, and accepted him as Savior and Lord. And that changed him for good. He became an honor student. He became such a good student at his college that he became an executive in the Eastman Kodak Company. An executive that was so good that they'd send him around from place to place to help, you know, make it more professional, straighten some things out. So he had worked in at least 4 different states for the Eastman Kodak Company. And after graduation from college, he had also become a Gideon. A Gideon Bible had been what influenced him to the Lord. And he just didn't become a Gideon, but he became so well noted that he's gone around the world teaching Gideons how to share their faith, how to minister and how to work in an organization to share God's word. But he's gone around the world teaching Gideons how to do it. He has a son, and his son has become a pastor. The word of God came to Randy and not only made him a better businessman and a better person, but he made him a great witness for Jesus Christ, his Lord. The word of God just continues to work once we share it with all the people that we can. And I want to share with you a little bit how you can help us, how you can help share this around the world. The very first thing you can do, and the most important thing you can do, is pray. And I'm not kidding. I'm not making that up. It's the truth. I mean, some people teach prayers at least I can pray for you. No, that's not the least you can do. My goodness, that's the best you can do. That's the most important thing you can do. We Gideons would like you to pray for us because we need you. We'd like you to pray for us as we go out and share the word. We'd like you to pray for those who receive these gospels, that the word of God would speak to them and they would allow that word to influence their heart and life and draw them to Jesus into the fellowship with God the Father. We ask that you'd pray for those who don't receive, who refuse to receive a gospel, that God will find other ways to open up their mind and their heart to accepting and drawing close in some other fashion. Yeah, we just covet your prayers. It's very important. Another thing you can do is give, and the church has already given an offering today, and I'm very thankful for that. However, I'm going to mention that back there on your reading table are a bunch of these. These are bulletin inserts, and those are ways to pick one up, and maybe you would like to personally give to Gideon's International. You don't need to do that now, but take one of these and look at it. It'll tell you how to give to Gideon's International. You just send a check to them, and this will tell you how to do that. But think about it and pray about it. They're there for your perusal. And in the giving, just so you're aware, $1.90 buys one of these. $19 to buy 10 of them. $190 to buy a case. And you know, if you don't give, that's fine. We're not interested in how much you give. We're interested in that you share in the ministry of sharing God's word with the world. Other things you can do is you can become a friend of Gideon's. Maybe you'd like to come and know us a little better. And you don't have to become a member. You won't have to go to meetings. You don't have to go to our fundraisers. And we have lots of those. And back to that giving thing, just so you understand, money's important. Don't worry, not taking anything, so don't worry about it. But money's important. You see, we have 250,000 members in over 200 world areas as Gideon's. We share scriptures in 109 different languages. Every 3 days, we share 1 million copies of the Bible. That's a lot of Bibles. That's a lot of money. That's why we talk about the funds. But become a friend, and maybe perhaps you'd like to become a Gideon and distribute the Bibles and come to the meetings and participate in sharing God's word with the world and letting it have its effect upon your life. Hopefully today you've been inspired to share the word of God just as you are with someone in this world today. It's important. It's powerful. The word of God is so personable that it not only lives in Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, lives in you. And you are the word of God to someone today. I thank you for your time. I thank you, Pastor Woomer, for opening up your pulpit so I could share this morning. It's been a joy. I've enjoyed worshiping with you people today. I don't know if you know it, but not every place I go has a children's choir. I love to see the children participate in worship. It's nice that you are doing that. Not every place I go opens up the altar and has an anointing service for healing like that. And that's important stuff, to remember the grace of God and to use it powerfully. Thank you for the opportunity that you've shared with me today to worship with you. If there's nothing else that this place does for closing, if you don't mind, we'll just close with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the people that have gathered here today. I thank you for their love for you. I thank you for their dedication. Father, they have desperate needs. They've lost loved ones. They have illnesses to take care of. They have friends who need your word. Father, would you come and just bless them at work, bless them at home, bless them at school? Would you build up the families and make the love that mom and dad and children share powerful enough that everyone in the family knows it's always there? Father, would you come and make of this place a place where you get shared every day because of your love. Again, we thank you for the opportunities you give to us to participate in sharing you with a world that needs to be redeemed. May we do it well for your honor and for your glory in all things. Amen. Again, thank you very much. It's been a joy to worship with you today.